be stricken from the records.
Objection sustained.
If it please the court, Your Honor, at this time I would like to introduce my three main witnesses.
Request granted. Proceed with the testimony.
And proceed we will. Coming to you from the illuminated palace of digital dirt, resting on the southern border of the great state of Amnesia, welcome to Lifestyles and the Law Today. Just a friendly reminder, this show is for informational and entertainment purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. And just to set the record straight, we practice a straight regiment of segmented satire here, and we do not believe in dead air. Good day to you. I'm Alan Mason, your host and witness number one, along with witness number two, our show producer, Rick Snyder. And you, my good friend, are the one witness we love more than a basket full of puppies. Thank you for joining us today. We are spreading the happy and feeling the fun because this is the coolest place where legal minds gather for the latest legal news and time-saving tips. Along with the latest community-first information, our mission is educating those in need of legal representation with a solid base of legal minds and top law scholars. We know the only time you require personal injury representation is after you're injured. However, it couldn't hurt to have a relationship with a great personal injury lawyer. So let's get started right now. If you find yourself in need of sound legal advice, call the good folks at the Robes Law Group. They know how personal injury works and will be happy to assist you. Their mission is getting you well and putting your life back in order. The staff and legal team over at the Robes Law Group are compassionate people and work hard for you. Bottom line, if you've been injured, make contact with the good folks over at the Robes Law Group by dialing 561-570-5700. With offices in Delray Beach and throughout Palm Beach County, visit their website at robeslawgroup.com or their Facebook page at facebook.com/robeslawgroup. Coming up on today's show, attorney Gary E. Susser is here to clear up the myths and misconceptions of elderly care and nursing homes. We live in South Florida. Assisted living facilities are everywhere, and that's coming right up. And in our phobia department, what is persistent, abnormal, and irrational fear of a specific thing or situation? It's a phobia. There are more than 100 phobias on record, and podophobia heads the list of this week's phobias. In 35 minutes, we'll walk all over this phobia, podophobia. Don't be afraid to look that up. Then in the news, Rick has a story about insurance deductibles and the new EIB cards, details at the bottom of the hour. Then in our Corona legal segment, attorney Thomas A. Robes has the latest information about service fees, or better put, Corona charges. Corona Legal will clear things up right after the news. Are you still telling your friends about the show? Well, thank you for doing that. Kind of makes you feel good, doesn't it? Be sure to maintain social distancing when sharing the show, mainly because it's so contagious. This is a good time to let a friend in on the happy. But right now, it's time to take a look at South Florida's latest legal headlines, brought to you by the Robes Law Group, your community-approved legal brain trust. Here with today's headlines is our constantly random voice of wisdom and full-time news orator, Rick Snyder.
Thank you, Alan. Here are today's headlines from the Robes Law Group newsroom. A multi-million dollar class action case in Florida highlights that insurers must apply the deductible to the client's full bill. We'll have details on how that works. Oh, and by the way, Tallahassee City Commissioners will vote on a $182,500 personal injury settlement with Annie Brown, who was injured when a city vehicle totaled her car. We'll have details on this and more at the bottom of the hour.
When we return, want a free Robes wallet? What is a Robes wallet? It's what you need if an accident crosses your path. I'll tell you more when we return, so don't go back. We'll be right away. If you could prepare for an accident, it wouldn't be called an accident, would it? According to the U.S. Department of Transportation, more than 6 million traffic accidents occur every year. Cars, trucks, or motorcycles, it happens. The real question is, if it happens to you, what will you do? Statistics show the sooner you have legal representation, the better the outcome of your case. Wouldn't it be great if your lawyer was right there with you to guide you through this confusing moment? What you say or don't say at the scene of an accident matters. That's why the Robes Law Group developed a smartphone application. You can download the Robes Law Group app from the App Store or simply text the word ROBES to 474747. That's R-O-B-E-S, text to 866-487-4747. Or call the Robes Law Group today at 561-570-5700. That's 561-570-5700. Or check out their website at robeslawgroup.com. Have you ever heard the saying, no risk, no reward? It's all about the risk, isn't it? Every time you grab your car keys, you are preparing to drive into the risk field. There are thousands of factors which determine the amount of your risk: traffic, weather conditions, distractions, or time restrictions. But there is a risk. The best part is, you get to determine the degree of risk you're willing to take. But when those conditions or restrictions get the best of you, that's when your heartaches begin. That's why Robes Law Group developed a handy wallet about the size of a number 10 envelope that fits perfectly in the glove box of your car. The wallet has contact numbers, website, and texting information, plus a comprehensive list of what to do in case you are involved in an accident. What you say or don't say at the scene of an accident could determine the outcome of your case. Want a free Robes wallet? Call right now, 561-570-5700, and ask Christina to send you a Robes glove box wallet, and the information within should ease the pain of an unfortunate experience. It can't hurt to have a backup of your hard drive, an extra memory stick, and a relationship with a lawyer who knows what he's doing. Looking for the best outcome? Join the list of satisfied Robes clients and call the good folks at Robes Law Group, 561-570-5700, or visit them at their website, robeslawgroup.com. Welcome back to Lifestyles in the Law. Today, I'm still your host and non-legal orator, Alan Mason, along with Rick Snyder, our show producer, here with some kind words about the Robes wallet.
Well, first, I want to tell you what I got in the mail this week.
Lay it on me, baby.
Okay. My new registration came. Ooh. Whoopee.
Oh, you had a birthday.
No, this is for the car. But
oh, your car had a birthday?
Yes, it did. Needed a new little yellow sticker on the back. So the thing comes, and I look at it, and I go, yeah, this has to go in the car. In my Robes Law Group wallet, which Perfect. Is sitting in my glove compartment.
Perfect.
Now, oh, you'll like this part. You know the little yellow sticker on the license plate? That's no. very hard to get off.
Oh, yeah.
Guess how I got it off? And this is what you suggested this.
WD-40.
That's right. Came right off. Stuck the new one on. I'm ready to go. Fold up the paper. Open up the wallet. It's in the wallet. And I am now safe. All my paperwork is in the Robes Law Group wallet. What's the wallet? It's a large wallet that fits right in your glove compartment. It's got pages. It's got instructions. It's got phone numbers. You can put your insurance card in there. You can put your registration in there. If you ever need to produce this information, you know, taking stuff out of your pockets, it's in there in one place. And it's free. We'll deliver it to your house by having you send us an email to...
It's info@robeslawgroup.com. I-N-F-O at robeslawgroup.com.
All Robes Law Group at...
561-570-5700.
They will deliver it to your house.
That's right.
Via U.S. mail.
Ask Christina to send you one, and she will.
This will give you a little peace of mind because you know you have the information with you. Insurance papers, car registration, and whatever else you want to throw in there. A couple pictures of the family.
Here's our next super guest on Lifestyles and the Law today, brought to you by Robes Law Group of Delray Beach, Florida. Our first super guest is a civil trial attorney from Cincinnati, Ohio, where he practiced law from 1979 to 1986. When he relocated to South Florida, he was admitted to the Florida Bar and several federal circuit courts, where he undertakes cases involving car crashes, harm done at nursing homes, or violations of geriatric rights, and exploitation of abuse by caregivers. Kerry Susser, welcome to Lifestyles in the Law today.
Thank you very much, Alan.
Great. Hey, what school did you go to in Ohio?
The Ohio State University.
Anybody goes to school in Ohio, it's got to be Ohio State, right?
I am a Buckeye through and through.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. All right, so let's get right into it. Nursing home abuse. I mean, we haven't heard anything about that lately in the news, have we?
I was going to say that my phones haven't stopped. It is just really a sad commentary of what's going on in our society and this pandemic right now. And I'd be glad to share a couple of stories and go through what we believe your listeners will want to know about the rights of the residents in the nursing homes and the rights of the families.
What are the nursing home patients' rights, And is there a nursing home abuse law in effect right now?
Alan, of course there is. In fact, 1986, a study was done, as required by Congress, regarding what was going on in our nation's nursing homes regarding abuse, neglect, and inadequate care. There was a study done, and as a result of that study, our Congress passed the Nursing Home Reform Act in 1987. The state of Florida then went and established its own nursing home care law and enacted a resident bill of rights. Like we have a constitutional bill of rights, the first 10 amendments, we have now a nursing home resident bill of rights here in Florida.
Wow, that's pretty interesting. They don't have any extra rights, do they? They just have rights?
Well, I will be glad to discuss the law because this is what I do on a daily basis. Florida Statute 429.28 is the Resident Bill of Rights. First and foremost, Alan, no resident of any facility shall be deprived of any civil or legal rights, benefits, or privileges guaranteed by the law, the Constitution of the state of Florida, or the Constitution of the United States. So a nursing home resident has a lot of rights. They have the right to live in a safe and decent living environment. They have a right to be free from abuse and neglect. They have a right to be treated with consideration and respect. They have a right to have their dignity, individuality, and privacy respected.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, some victims can't speak for themselves. They rely on walkers and wheelchairs to leave their beds, and they've been robbed of their memories, and then they come to a nursing home to be cared for. Instead, they're sexually assaulted.
Those are called crimes, and those are prosecuted and punished. And one of the keys to finding out about the neglect and the abuse and the crimes being committed in these long-term care facilities and nursing homes is another key right in the Bill of Rights. And that is for every resident, they have an unrestricted right for private communication. They have a right to receive and send unopened correspondence, emails. They get access to a telephone. They have access to visitors of his or her choice. And it even sets out, and by the statute, the times that visiting hours are allowed in these facilities, which is 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. at a minimum. And at anyone's request, any facility has to make provisions for extended visiting hours for caregivers and out-of-town guests. So there are a lot of things that can go on in a nursing home. And one of the keys, Alan, that all your listeners need to be aware of, make contact, make the call, send a text, send an email, do FaceTime, and welcome to the 21st century, everyone. Let's do a Zoom meeting if they have a tablet. Residents should have an iPhone. They should have an iPad or a tablet so they can communicate and you can see the person. Because right now, you want to be sure that your loved one in a facility is not only just cared for, but is doing well. And let me tell you, if I may digress to a quick story, right after the COVID shutdown happened, and I believe this was in March or early April, and I can't be sure. This was in a facility in Broward County. I got a call from a young lawyer, panic-stricken, didn't know what to do or how to advise his client who was on the phone, because this woman went to the nursing home, which was shut down to visitors, and was there demanding to see her mother. And because of the order from our government, she couldn't be allowed into the facility because of COVID. She went around the facility looking in windows, knocking on windows to see her mother, who she had not heard from in over a week. She was panicked. The nursing home people called the Broward Sheriff's Office on her. And when this attorney called me, the Broward Sheriff was with this woman, ready to handcuff her and take her away for trespass. I immediately told the lawyer, have the lady call me immediately, which she did. She told me the situation, nice lady, law-abiding citizen, no issues. I said, hand the phone to the deputy. She did. Deputy, these are strange times and new times. This lady has the right under the law to communicate with her mother. There's been no communication. The facility has cut off communication. Can you do me the courtesy of calling up the facility, find out who called you in to arrest this poor woman, and then find out what room her mother is in, walk this nice lady around to where her mother is so she can knock on the window, make eye contact with the mother, and blow her a kiss. If you do that, deputy, she's going to walk away. That's all she wants. And the deputy said, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, how a situation can escalate out of hand so quickly. But yet, because I was able to tell the deputy and cite to him the Resident Bill of Rights, that a resident is allowed to have communication between 9 and 9, he allowed that to happen.
Nice. Well, at least that deputy had some common sense, and maybe that's what we need to have a little bit more of. Hey, what actions can be taken against a nursing home facility for failing to protect nursing home residents from abuse or neglect?
Alan, that's how I make my living, unfortunately. You find a lawyer like me, and there are several lawyers who do this type of work, so I'm not alone in what I do. If they don't meet the standards, you have a variety of remedies that are available. For Health Care Administration, they are the entity that monitors our facilities. You can file a complaint against them, and they can go in unannounced and inspect the facility. They could go in with one or two inspectors, depends how thinly stretched out they are, and they could go in and they could go through anything from the kitchen to the patient rooms to the common areas to determine if there's a violation of the many regulations that a nursing home or a long care facility must abide by, so they can be held to account by the government, number one. Number two, they could come to a lawyer like me and I could sue them. Now, there is a process by which I have to go through, and that is I have to give them notice of what they're doing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, I believe, 75 days to sit there and respond to my allegations.
75 days? I could write a book in 75 days. What's just to respond?
Well, that's the law.
Like I said, that's crazy.
Alan, I don't want to get into politics. In my practice of law, I am an advocate for rights, but I will tell you this, and as an aside, right now we have an important election coming up, both in August and November. Elections have consequences. Everybody should be registered to vote, and everyone should vote, because, ladies and gentlemen, the insurance lobby and the nursing home lobby is up there in Florida lobbying the governor and our Republican Senate for protection. And now, before the governor, there is a proposal to limit or bar any action against any facility for any resident who contracts COVID and dies. So the governor can sit there and make a law saying we lawyers can't sue a facility if a loved one dies from COVID because they are not clean, they're not sanitary, or their staff is not checked, and the staff is bringing in this disease. So elections have consequences. And if that law is signed into effect, it would have a very bad chilling effect on the ability of people and the residents to protect themselves and seek redress in a court of law.
Absolutely. You know, the person I spoke of earlier that was sexually assaulting, Luis Gomez is his name. I wasn't going to mention it. I don't like to glorify people like that, but he appeared to be the perfect nursing aide. He loved his job, and he went the distance for the residents, but now he's been accused of course, he says he's innocent, but now they've dug deeper into his background, and he's a serial abuser. He just goes from facility to facility and with a history of allegations against him. There's no database to keep track of these abusers?
Well, Alan, there is a database, and that is with the criminal courts. Here's another potential cause of action. A nursing home or an employer has a duty to do a thorough background check on any employee. Now, some of the listeners on the radio may be employees of these facilities. I guarantee you that if you ask them, they will have undergone a background check, both criminal and civil. They even sign forms that allow an employer to do a credit check on you, perhaps. They could check with your landlord, your bank, a financial check. So a good facility, a properly run facility, will have in place policies and procedures to check on their employees and do a thorough check and not just, you know, look on some website and say, oh, okay, there's nothing here, goodbye. They need really get into it. And if that facility where this man was employed did not do that, you come to me and we will get them sued.
Now, we're talking about some serious stuff here, but for the folks who have a parent in a nursing home or something, what should they be looking for? What are the most common complaints among nursing home residents?
How much time do you have, Alan?
We have an hour. Have at it.
Oh, I'm not going to talk about the food quality, okay? Food is one thing. You can always complain about food, especially if you're used to good home cooking. You're looking at, I think, lack of cleanliness, okay?
You know, wow.
If you go in to look at a facility, okay, and if it smells bad, it's just, you know, use your nose, okay? If there's, like, one of the things that I've gone into these facilities on court-ordered inspections, okay, and I brought people with me, inspectors.
Right.
I mean, one of the things that is a key to the nose is ammonia. If you smell ammonia, if you smell bleach, that is a sign of poor quality because those are cover-ups. Ammonia and bleach are very strong, and they, if overused, they could be somewhat poisonous. But if they start dumping ammonia and bleach around facility, they're out there to kill something. And that is a sign to me that there is a problem.
They're not using that just as a cover-up, are they? Let's put this smell down, get rid of that smell?
That's possible. That's why, to me, it, bells and whistles go off. If I just use my nose and smell ammonia or heavy bleach, you know, especially in the bathrooms, one of the things you want to look at are the bathrooms, because the signs of infection can show up in a bathroom because things such as dysentery, something called C. diff, those are infections that really eat away the bowels. I've had, unfortunately, cases where the C. diff infection has gone through a nursing home, has wiped out people. And you want to look to see if there's a room that's been set off or under quarantine. Believe it or not, if there's a patient with C. diff, there actually is protective gear that has to be worn by the caregivers. And if you see people wearing protective gear going to a sealed room, you know there's a contagious disease there. Next, food and food quality. You got to be sure if during mealtime that the servers are wearing gloves, the food handlers are exercising proper care in handling food, trays, and utensils. They should all be wearing gloves. If they're not wearing gloves and serving your loved one food, don't put them there.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, folks, we're talking with Gary Susser. He is an attorney at law when it comes to abuse and neglect in nursing homes and a lot of other things. And, Gary, we have a few things to do here in the show. If you'll hang on, we'll pick up in the second half and we'll continue on.
Thank you very much.
All right, stand by. Folks, we'll be right back after this short break. Personal injury attorneys regularly inundate the airwaves with money-making rants, guaranteeing their clients huge settlements. Call now is their air horn. We make money only if you do is tattooed on their foreheads. Had enough? The Robes Law Group offers sound legal guidance and direction. They work hard for you because it's the right thing to do. What you say or don't say at the scene of an accident matters. Wouldn't it be great if your lawyer was right there with you to guide you through this confusing moment? That's why the Robes Law Group developed a smartphone application. You can download the Robes Law Group app from the App Store or simply text the word ROBES to 474747. That's ROBES. Text to 474747. Or call the Robes Law Group today at 561-570-5700. That's 561-570-5700. Or check out their website at robeslawgroup.com. Coming up on the second half of the show, Gary Susser is still with us. We are discussing elder care and the assisted living facilities in South Florida. Stay tuned for that. Then in our Corona Legal segment, Thomas A. Robes has the details on Corona service fees. Your Corona Legal update is just a few moments away. But right now, it's time for all the news that maybe shouldn't be news, brought to you by the Robes Law Group of Delray Beach. Download their smartphone app by texting the word ROBES, that's R-O-B-E-S, to 474747. Rick Snyder, our show producer, has a story that tuffles with insurance and EIB cards. Rick, what's going on in the world of lawlessness?
Well, we've got all the news that we can fit in here from the Robes Law Group newsroom, and a multi-million dollar class action case in Florida highlights that insurers must apply the deductible to the client's full bill instead of a reduced amount that yields lower reimbursement, the plaintiffs have said. Allstate Insurance entered into a class action settlement agreement as it faced allegations it did not comply with insurance policies it had issued and which should have provided personal injury protection benefits subject to a personal injury protection deductible. Allstate and several entities have paid close to $14 million. The complaint states that a client has an Allstate insurance policy covering her son who was involved in a car accident. The policy provided for a $500 deductible applicable to claims with no-fault benefits. The bills that were incurred for her son's medical treatment included doctor-prescribed sessions with a chiropractor. Instead of paying 100% of the expenses and losses, Allstate reduced the bill by a covered amount and then applied a deductible to that reduced amount. A little confusing?
So much for those good hands.
Well, the Broward County Circuit Court has certified the settlement class and persons who submitted claims for payment of bills for medical services under the personal injury protection coverage under a Florida automobile vehicle insurance policy could be reimbursed for the expenditures. Does that sound like something legal?
Sounds like we need to get the alimony dartboard out and see which policies are in effect.
There you go. Anyone who believes they might qualify as a class member must submit a completed and signed claim form before November 13th. Those who want to opt out or exclude themselves from the settlement class must provide a written request for exclusion no later than July 28th.
All right. Well, I'm in the lower class, so I guess it doesn't matter.
Al, you're in a class by yourself.
That's what it is.
Tallahassee City Commissioners to vote on a $182,500 personal injury settlement with Annie Brown. She was injured when a city vehicle totaled her vehicle. Both were making left turns. The truck hit her. The incident occurred in December 2018 as Brown made that left into a parking lot. A city vehicle exiting the parking lot also attempted to make a left turn, struck Brown's vehicle, totaling it. Brown received medical attention at Capital Regional Medical Center, where x-rays revealed no broken bones, but later revealed a rotator cuff tear and subacromial impingement.
I think the two lefts don't make a right.
Very good. He was discharged in May. Ms. Brown filed suit against the city seeking damages for past and future medical expenses, pain and suffering, and other damages recoverable under Florida law. Due to the extensive medical treatment Ms. Brown received, her past medical and out-of-pocket expenses are in excess of $325,000. The matter was set for mediation, but they were able to amicably resolve all of Ms. Brown's claims, including costs and attorney fees, for a total of $182,500, subject to commission approval. If approved, the $182,000 settlement will come from risk management funds.
Indeed.
And maybe they got an economic impact payment Visa credit card in the mail from the U.S. Department of the Treasury. Did you? Well, if you did, You might get a letter from the Treasury this week, a letter reminding you to activate your card. Otherwise, it's useless. Treasury's letter gives you instructions on how to activate the card. Once you do that, you can get cash or use it anywhere that accepts Visa debit cards. Or you can also transfer the money from your EIP debit card to your bank account. This is especially helpful if you can't or don't want to visit an ATM. Throw away the card by mistake? Uh-oh. Or maybe you don't recall getting one.
We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, getting these cards in the mail, and people don't know what they are. They just throw them away.
Well, no worries. Your letter from Treasury will tell you how to request a replacement, which will include calling a 24-hour customer service line at 1-800-240-8100. That number again, and it probably tells you in the letter, 800-240-8100. It's free to replace your card.
How many times do I get to do that?
Ha, that's a good question. Let's call that number and find out.
Exactly.
And that's all the news that fits today, Alan, from the Robes Law Group Newsroom.
Here's our next super guest on Lifestyles and the Law Today, brought to you by Robes Law Group of Delray Beach, Florida. Okay, welcome back to the second half of Lifestyles and the Law Today. We have been speaking with Gary E. Susser. He is an attorney at law, and he specializes in nursing homes and medical malpractice, abuse, and neglect. Gary Susser, thanks for hanging out for the second half of the show here. This has been a very interesting conversation. There's a lot of people in South Florida that have relatives, mothers and fathers, and friends in nursing facilities. And if you don't know what their rights are, you won't know they're being abused. So what do you look for to spot signs of nursing home abuse and neglect? I know we talked about the bathrooms and the smells. Is there anything else?
Absolutely. If your loved one is there for a while, you know, it's like, you know, having the same nurse or same aide or same CNA or HHA. If there are staffing issues, i.e. if there's a constant turnover of staffing, that is a bad thing. And that is something that you're looking at neglect. You want to have someone who's there constantly and steadily for your loved one. You know, and they do long shifts, and they could do 4 days on, 3 days off. You want to see same familiar faces, because that is key to being in a facility. Just remember, your loved one is away from home. They're in a strange place. They're surrounded by people they don't know. So if there's a familiar face that's there constantly, that is reassuring to them and should be reassuring to you, that at least this facility is staffing the place well. As we're seeing now with this COVID shutdown, we are all creatures. We human beings are creatures of socialization. We crave contact. You know, how is it people that are staying home and they're going crazy because they're shut in and they're not going out because they're afraid? Well, think of your loved one in that type of facility. They're locked in the room. We heard the horror stories of people on a ship with COVID trapped in their rooms. They couldn't get out. It's like being in prison, being in solitary confinement. It is not good. You want to see a facility that promotes social interaction amongst its residents. You want to see a music room. You want to see a piano. You want to see the pianos in tune. You want to see if there's a card room. You want to see that they can interact and talk. You just don't want to plop someone in front of a TV, turn on the TV, and, you know, let them sit there and, you know, listen to constantly negative news.
Sure.
Next, when you go to visit someone, with all due respect, you may want to go over them and look at them. You want to see if there's any bruises, any cuts, any skin tears. I mean, I have seen a case where it was horrendous, where they're transferring a gentleman into a wheelchair, and the wheelchair, the leg brace, I'm trying to remember the term for it, they put him down so hard, it gashed his leg to the bone. What happened? Because they made a mistake, they went, took care of it, and they covered up, and you don't know what's underneath the bandage. Unexplained bruises, cuts, skin tears, even a broken bone need to be spotted by your family. A change in personality. a change in alertness.
They certainly do that in the elementary schools and maybe the middle schools. They look at kids constantly. They see bruises, they see an attitude change or something, and they investigate immediately with social services. So what can be done if you suspect a nursing home abuse or neglect? I mean, who do you call?
First things first, you document it by bringing your suspicions and making a report immediately to the nursing home administrator at the facility. You want to talk to the nursing home administrator. You want them to come see your loved one with you so you could point out to them what's going on and what you believe is maybe a danger in terms of a physical issue. Someone like a caregiver, as you mentioned, Alan, someone who's sexually abusive, okay? Someone who is living in, let's say, a dirty diaper, okay? A lot of these people are unable to ambulate or walk, and they need help getting to a bathroom, and they're wearing diapers. You know, one of the things that is a deadly thing is a urinary tract infection, a UTI. You want to make sure that your loved one is getting their diaper changed often. Example, my mother is almost 92 years old. I buy, thank you, Amazon, I buy her 80 diapers a month for her use, and that's still not enough, she says. And she still came out with a UTI, a urinary tract infection, a couple of weeks ago, which are quite severe, especially in the elderly. So you want to make sure that if there's not a constant change in diapers, if the toileting needs are not met, you better document, you better send, after you make the complaint, you send emails, you send letters, you document the file. Because Alan, I hate to say this, but when it comes to me at the end stage, and I'm saying, where are all the complaints you made? Well, I just told them. I says, no, they're going to deny that you tell them. Plausible deniability. If you put it in writing, ladies and gentlemen, if you put it in writing and you hand it to them, if you make sure it's documented in the nurse's file, that is the first thing you need to do. Document and report.
What about these little cameras that you can buy hidden inside of a teddy bear? Can you get one of those and put that on the shelf in the room and record whenever movement is going on? Is that legal or do they allow that?
Well, you can do that if it's a private room. You can't do that if you have someone else in your room. That's an invasion of their privacy.
Why do so many nursing homes have bad care? I mean, it just seems like it's easier just to do the right thing.
Alan, it's all about the money. These are not charitable facilities. These are for-profit facilities. Some of them are publicly traded on the stock exchange. They're there to make money. The way you make money is that you minimize expenses. You dilute chemicals. You buy cheap chemicals. You buy cheap food. You hire unqualified cheap labor. You overwork your labor. You don't provide enough staffing. All that saves money, saves the bottom line. I've investigated facilities where they have family on payroll. They have family running businesses to supply the facility, and they're not supplying enough help for the residents there. There are cases now where it's so bad that a recent court I found here in Palm Beach County through another attorney was able to get a claim for punitive damages to be put into the court against the facility. Because if these facilities are that bad, they deserve to be punished, and that is the word punitive. To punish them.
The abuse had to have been very, very terrible for punitive damages to come in, because you're right, punitive is just punishment, okay? We've taken care of the medical expenses and we've taken care of all this. Now we're going to punish you, and that's what punitive is, right?
Absolutely correct, Alan, and it is something now in a good attorney's arsenal that we need to keep promoting, because right now what's going on I find is disheartening, to say the least. Now, you can call up the Florida Department of Elder Affairs. You could call the hotline number. The hotline, by the way, is 1-800-962-2873. That's the Florida Department of Elder Affairs. They have a hotline where you can report abuse or neglect, and they'll come investigate. The best way to do it is sometimes it's just too late. I'm handling a couple of death cases where even the doctors, and I hate to say this, they hire doctors who are medical directors, and they're there to collect a paycheck and just go over files and really don't examine the patients. And they won't let you bring in your own doctor. It's like a locked facility. And in order to get someone out to get to your own doctor, it would take almost an act of Congress. And it takes a diligent family member to get someone out for the day and get them to their own doctor. Because I guarantee you, Alan, if a private doctor saw a patient with horrendous bed sores, and it's one of my death cases now, where they had these bed sores or duplicitous ulcers, they get infected. The photographs are horrendous, and they don't get like that overnight. It takes time for these things to develop and become fatal. Suspect anything. You have to be vigilant. There's no substitute for a family member or friend being there to visit. And I guarantee you, it is difficult sometimes to bring yourself to go there to visit. It is difficult. You know, I work 6-7 days a week. And when my mother-in-law was in a facility, I made a point, especially on the weekend, to bring my youngest son with me just to go in. And Alan, I'm not shy or reserved, as you could probably tell. And when I go in a facility to visit somebody, I just sit there and say, "Who are you?" He says, "I'm her lawyer. Here's my card." They get a little bit better attention after that.
I did it the old-fashioned way. I let my mom live with me until she passed. And I know there was a time in this country that nursing facilities just didn't exist. And I understand why they've been created. I mean, there's certain skills that the nurses have that I would never have. But we let her live at the house. And I think that's something that we used to do in America. But now it's changed. So we have to educate ourselves about that change. We need to know what's going on inside of these nursing homes. What are some of the disadvantages of placing a family member to live in a nursing home?
I would never put my mother or my mother-in-law in a facility. Wouldn't do it, because it makes you feel better that they're in their own home. As long as they have the proper care and you can afford the proper care, because it's not cheap.
Hey, what are the differences between skilled nursing facilities and like just a nursing home?
Well, there are certain facilities that cater to certain conditions. Alzheimer's facilities that are geared only for Alzheimer's, and they are locked. They don't let the people out, and they have to have close monitoring. Okay? Skilled nursing care is when someone is there for rehab. They've done a hip or knee replacement. So if you have an 80-plus-year-old family relative that fell and broke a hip, you're not going to send them home after surgery. You're going to send them to a skilled nursing care facility or a rehab facility for post-op care where they could be for 30 days or 6 weeks and get the physical therapy, the occupational therapy, and nutritional therapy they need to get their strength back and get home so they could be on their own.
Yeah, so yeah, that makes sense. Why, you're right. After they've been laying in bed for a while and the caretaker's in and out, they know who they are, they know what they can get away with. In a therapy situation, you got work to do. So you're in, you do your job, you finish, you get out. So yeah, I can understand why there wouldn't be much abuse in that scenario. All right, last question here. Of course, the coronavirus has affected every one of us, and we're all trying to comply to whatever the whim of the day is. Wear a mask, don't wear a mask, go out, stay in. It's very confusing. But what happens if a family member who is in a nursing home dies as a direct result of COVID-19? Is it medical malpractice? Is it abuse? Is it a neglect? I mean, how does that work?
Okay. Well, this is now the gray area of law. First, if you remember early on in our discussion, the concern is that Governor DeSantis would sign a law that would prohibit lawsuits for anyone dying from COVID. The issue is still unresolved, but the lobbying in Tallahassee is going on, because the nursing home lobby is pretty strong. How do you prove that the facility was responsible for COVID-19 coming in. How do they know it didn't come in from supplies that were brought in by a linen company? How do they know it didn't come in from someone delivering food? How do they know it didn't come in from a delivery person of any nature? How do you prove that it came in from one of their own employees?
Folks, we've been talking with Gary E. Susser. He is an expert in elderly care and nursing homes. And if you have a question about elderly care or nursing homes, call the Robes Law Group right now, 561-570-5700, and they will put you in touch with the one and only Gary E. Susser. Gary, thanks so much for taking your time out and coming down and speaking with us today. An intriguing subject, and I learned a lot, tell you that.
Alan, thank you very much. And you got to be able to protect our seniors, because you know what? They're the ones that nursed us and brought us here, and we owe them everything we could give them.
Perfect. Hey, Gary, listen to this. When you hear that sound, something bad is about to happen.
Good afternoon. This is Christina at the Robes Law Group. How can I help you?
And that's the sound of confidence. Confidence in knowing you have selected the right team to represent you in your hour of need. The Department of Transportation tells us more than 5 million crashes occur every year. That's more than 13,600 accidents every single day, every day. So be aware of... And remember, when you need legal representation, call the good folks at Robes Law Group at 561-570-5700. That's 561-570-5700. Or better yet, download the Robes Law Group app by texting the word ROBES to 474747. That's ROBES to 474747.
This is Christina at the Robes Law Group. How can I help you?
Welcome back to Lifestyles in the Law. Today, I'm still your host and non-legal orator, Alan Mason, along with our show producer, Rick Snyder, with a message for those afflicted with podophobia. If you have a fear of feet, either touching or looking at them, even if they're your own, then you really need to grab your smartphone, if you're not driving, of course, and text the word ROBES, that's R-O-B-E-S, to 474747, and download the Robes Law Group app and open it. It's a beautiful app. There are many options. You could listen to the show, check on traffic conditions and events, or contact Robes 24/7, 365. And there are no feet in the app, only metrics. Besides, the good folks at the Robes Law Group give you peace of mind knowing that legal representation is in the palm of your hand. Just a friendly reminder, when you hire Robes from the app, you receive a $1,000 fee credit when your case is settled. That's $1,000 just for hiring Robes from the app. Remember, text the word ROBES to 474747. Got it? Get it? Problem solved.
Millions of Americans have joined together to halt the spread of this horrible disease. Our experts and scientists report that our strategy to slow the spread has saved hundreds of thousands of lives. Our team of experts now agrees that we can begin the next front in our war, which we are calling Opening Up America Again.
What happens when the coronavirus shutdown hits the legal community head on? Lifestyles in the Law today presents Corona Legal. The last word settles the case. Joining us on the phone today is Thomas A. Robes. He is the lead attorney over at the Robes Law Group. Matter of fact, I think they named the company after him. Today we'll be talking about surcharges with the coronavirus in full force. Tom, I guess if I had a company and I was hurting financially because of the virus, I would probably look for some way to increase my profits. What I need to know, is it legal?
Right, exactly. And so there's two issues that are going on. One is the legality, and then, okay, well, then what's the tax implications of it? So these businesses, you know, they're considering surcharges, to cover. One of my friends wrote a blog about it, to cover, the financial losses, obviously. They can use it to purchase protective equipment for workers and cleaning supplies and all of that. So they're saying, hey, listen, because of this pandemic, to serve you, we need to change our business for you, which is the PPE and the disinfectants and all that sort of stuff. Okay, that's the basis of the surcharge. Well, then the next question about it is, okay, well then the tax issue, okay, is it part of the sales price or is it something else? Okay, so, the issue is, can the business break out this cost per se and charge it to the customer while it being tax exempt? You know what I'm saying? So that's the issue. Then, but if it's something that's tax exempt, then the COVID surcharge would probably tax exempt if it's associated. So, the question is, it seems to be that's going to be something that the accountants and tax attorneys are going to have to wrestle with.
Do you know of any businesses that are practicing that? I can't think of. I mean, I still go out. Maybe I shouldn't, but I go out, of course, to the grocery store and things like that. I haven't seen any notice or anything unless it's on the bottom of the bill in small print.
I haven't personally seen it, but I know that it exists. I've had, staff members in my office tell me about it and speaking to other people in the community that they've experienced the and seen this COVID-19 surcharge. If the businesses do it, what does that mean? And then if they do obtain money and funds from a COVID-19 surcharge, what's the tax ramifications of that? So, this is just one more interesting issue that we're all faced with and dealing with in COVID-19 that, a year ago, if someone would have told us, we'd be discussing the taxability of a surcharge on a global pandemic, probably most people would say we wouldn't be talking about it, but here we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This pandemic has certainly given us what they call a gut punch, and we'll get through it. I have no problem with a firm charging a little extra because of the times. Works for me.
That this pandemic has impacted almost everybody. So there's a lot of good people out there that are trying to, help their neighbor, so to speak, to ride this out. So, there's a lot of positivity, we've been dealing with, but there is a lot of good people out there. There's a lot of positivity out there. There's a lot of people that are trying to do good for one another as it relates to this COVID-19 pandemic. And that's just what you're talking about just there. Digging in a little deeper on a gratuity, to help out someone who's more likely than not struggling through this pandemic.
Yeah, it's kind of exciting. We're looking forward to it all. Thank you so much, Tom, for calling in. We appreciate the time you spent with us, and a very, very interesting subject, no doubt. Welcome back to Lifestyles in the Law Today. I'm still your host and non-legal orator, Alan Mason, along with Rick Snyder, our show producer, with a little message about the Robes Law Group wallet.
It's a wallet you can't put in your pocket, but you can put in your car, and it becomes very valuable if you ever need information on the car or your driving abilities.
What about your vehicle registration? Does that fit inside the wallet as well?
Absolutely. It's designed to hold the important papers in your car, and you need to do this right away. We're giving them away, Alan. We'll deliver it to your house for free. So give us a call
at 561-570-5700 and snag a free Robes Law Group wallet.
And it will come in very handy when you need it.
Absolutely. Coming up on next week's show, the top three paralegals over at the Robes Law Group. We'll take a look behind the legal curtain. It's Paralegal Extravaganza. Be here next week for an inside look at what makes the law cook. Thank you for joining us every Saturday. Your company is appreciated. We have the best super guests and more legal laughs than the law allows. Tell your good-hearted friends about the show. Any friend of yours is a friend of ours, and we mean that, too. If it weren't for good friends, we'd have no friends at all. No gloom, despair, or misery around here. Listen to Lifestyles in the Law Today every Saturday from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m., depending on which station you're listening to, for the latest legal and statutory rulings and decisions. We hope our mission was successful and your time with us was spent wisely. This show is underwritten by the Robes Law Group of Delray Beach and originates from a virus-free studio somewhere in West Palm Beach, Florida. Executive producer John Mitchell, show producer Rick Snyder, audio engineer John Nutter, and I'm your host, Alan Mason. Sneeze you next week.